Is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Bill Gates' advice on how to combat mistrust in science at 60MinutesOvertime.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Today, October 9th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Focus show today on a similar topic of what we just covered, but fleshing it out just a bit more. Something in regard to Comirnaty, or Comirnaty, like I've been calling it, and going deeper into the discussion around what we're seeing there and looking into what that actually means and the science around what codon optimization actually is and what the studies from before now has said about that, including from an NIH archive. And we're going to go over why it shows that there are some concerns there. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that what's happening today is this exact concern, but it shows you that there's a absolute lack of transparency in any of the stuff that's going on. You're told do it, safe and effective. Any of the other questions, shut up about it, right? That your doctors, that from every angle, if you ask about something, you're a problem. That needs to be a reality check for all of us, not just about health, COVID-19, just the government, authority, control. You're no longer allowed to ask questions. When did that happen? I mean, we've slowly saw it progress, but now we have people that are acting like anybody who does ask these questions are the problem, and they're the ones that act like they're informed. That doesn't make much sense when you really break it down. We're going to go over a few other interesting points today in regard to breakthrough cases, something around the FDA mix and match topic that we've talked about at least four times now. It's coming back up again. Even though there's no evidence still to make sure or to verify that mixing different technological focused vaccines would make sense, right? Adenovector versus mRNA or mRNA differences with different temperatures and different day differences. Yeah, but just jam them all together because as long as you take it, you're on the right side, right? That's what it's all really about. And a few other important things that we'll finish with today around technocracy and everything else we seem to talk about. One interesting point today that I'm going to discuss in the context of side effects around OSHA, something that was pointed out by Kim Iverson we're going to talk about today, that is just the whole damn thing from top to bottom continues to show you that there is, at the very least, an agenda around all of this. I would believe it's also because this has been manipulated to almost an entire degree, but just recognize there's an agenda, and they are aggressive to get that done. Even if you agree with it, they're taking dishonest action, and it's everywhere. But we're going to start with a couple of quick points that I wanted to share, because I actually thought this was huge news. WikiLeaks just shared, and this was as of yesterday, breaking: coalition of 25 groups, including Amnesty International and the ACLU, demand immediate release of Julian Assange. Quote, in light of the shocking reporting about CIA plans to kidnap or even assassinate Assange, the charges must be dropped. You know what's really frustrating about that, first of all, is that we knew about that a long time ago. There's been a lot more information that's bolstered that point, but that's been discussed for a while. So these, you know, mainstream institutions, as much as they're saying ostensibly the right thing here, I don't ever believe that they're in the right place for the right reason. Regardless, it just shows you how much everything is shifting. 25 groups, some of the Amnesty International, ACLU, some of these leading groups are calling for his release immediately. How about because he didn't actually commit a crime? How about because they've never actually even gone after the people that did commit the crimes that he proved and have continued to go after all the whistleblowers involved in any aspect of what's happening? How about that, ACLU? Nah, We'll keep, I'm kind of being facetious because there have been different parts where they've stood up and said different things. Regardless, this is good, but it shows you the shifting position that the government is in. And I believe a lot of this is around COVID-19 and then them kind of pulling this trigger too fast. People are beginning to see how dishonest they really are, and they're losing position where they might have otherwise been like, well, you know, the government good and we have to stand by. At this point, things are shifting a bit. And I think what this needs to show you more than anything is that people like Julian Assange will continue to be attacked anyway. They're not going to let him go. They can't. I just don't see how that's even possible within how they've done this so far. So realize how much is changing right now. And we need to keep pushing, even as it feels like it's getting darker, harder, insurmountable. That's because they want you to feel that way. This is a good sign. Now, one interesting thing that's going in the other direction in regard to governments, I wanted to point this out, or I guess it depends on how you always perceived it. I've never seen the Russian government, or any government for that matter, to be on anybody's side other than their own. That's how I see government. I think that's how we all need to understand is the literal reality of government. But Carmen points out Russia is now officially on the board of the World Economic Forum. Quote, Russia becomes the 15th member of the World Economic Forum Fourth Industrial Revolution Network. So anybody that was kind of holding out for them, like not being a part of this whole Great Reset technocratic revolution, doesn't seem that way based on this action, but you know, everybody can think for themselves, will focus on artificial intelligence and other emerging technologies. And then she jokingly says, what's next? Putin talking about Build Back Better? Maybe. Certainly possible. She's linking to the tweet showing you this for directly from Borg. Brenda, this was the president of the World Economic Forum. I forget if it's Borg or anyway. The point is, this is all encompassing governments across the world. This is why we say global conspiracy, and people chuckle because they believe the word conspiracy is childish, except it's actually a crime that's enforced every day in this country, except simultaneously, it's a childish, crazy thing. When you watch the entire world take very clear, direct actions in the same path, around the same topic, in the same way, for the same period of time, on the same date. October 15th, we've been talking about specifically around a lot of this, but regardless, then you have to recognize that there is coordination here. Now, there's no other word for that than conspiracy. Remember that the word conspire is in a Christmas song. It doesn't have to be negative, but it means these people are getting together and deciding your future without your input. And Russia just joined. Now, on that note, let's jump over into the topic that I want to begin with, the focal point of today, and that is community. This is the article we just put up, the show we just did. Very rapid antibody decline after Pfizer jabs, which hopefully you'll look into that as well, because it's very, very apparent. There's a whole lot around this topic that's showing you this is, you know, destroying your immune system, removing your antibodies, but just keep forcing it on everybody. Community revealed to have changes from original. Now, this is very contentious for a lot of people because I mean, we're still stuck over on the FDA didn't approve it. And we're kind of going, well, that clearly happened and clearly it was dishonest. And clearly here we can see was very manipulative. But it's not just showing that they changed something is the best way to say this, because they're going to argue like they do in the discussion we'll show you next, that it didn't do anything important. Right? Even the exact same amino acid structure, it's not changed, it's same but effective, blah, blah, blah. But they changed something. Don't you think you have a right to know that? I would. I would argue we all have a right to know that, especially in what's supposed to be a transparent process. But I want to make this clear. So this is the show we talked about. Here's the documentation we went over yesterday or the day before yesterday. This is the FDA.gov before we get into the studies that reveal that this could be potentially dangerous, or really more so that these studies over the years have said this is probably not the best thing to do. And we're doing it, sort of like the increase of the lipid nanoparticles that historically have caused extremely high adverse events. And they did that to make sure that the mRNA was successful and never addressed why that stopped the problem that was causing before. Well, in fact, we all see that it didn't stop that because it's literally happening in the world today. So there's a lot of these actions that historically have been shown in studies to be dangerous, not safe. Or even just like I've shown you before, just general studies around the concept of nanoparticles, not nanorobots or just particles, small particles of any kind in general, not small, but nano sized particles of any kind. And they did a study on this in general, and it showed that use of nanoparticles in particular in things like this are dangerous or can be and can lead to cancers and all sorts of things. Then you get into all the mRNA conversations. That too can. The point is, a lot of these are there. You can look up the history and show yourself that this is something that, at the very least, comes with problems that they're not really informing you about. They just sweep it under the safe and effective rug and scream that word over and over. Well, here is the FDA's documentation about Comirnaty. Now, it says this: the two main parts are here I want to show you. The mRNA in Comirnaty is single-stranded, five-cap mRNA encoded in the full-length SARS-CoV-2 spike glycoprotein derived from the Wuhan H1 isolate. Now, again, the 2 points I made before was one that they admitted it wasn't isolated, but the second part is that it's coming from the original strain, which on a side note is simply another important to recognize. It's not going to have an effect, a positive effect, on what's currently happening with what they tell you is happening, that this is all Delta. All the science from the Journal of Infection and plenty of other highly regarded scientific outlets they tell you to trust have made it clear anything based on the original strain going up against Delta in particular could in fact increase the damage, antibody-dependent enhancement. On top of that, you're making antibodies or directing it towards something that's not actually in the room anymore. Who cares? The antigen coding RNA sequence, it says, is codon optimized and contains two proline mutations. So there's two things there. Codon optimization and two proline mutations. Those are differences. Now, the second part is more specific. This is under non-clinical toxicology. It says the repeat dose toxicity evaluations were conducted on Comirnaty and a similar vaccine termed BNT162B2 V8. Remember that? I'm going to make a point about this in a second that somebody reached out about, just to make sure, you know, just clarify this and make sure we're getting all the information out there. V8 versus V9, which we'll talk about in a second. But it says repeat dose toxicity evaluations were conducted on Comirnaty and a similar vaccine termed BNT162B2. Comirnaty and BNT162B2 B8 have identical amino acid sequences of the encoded antigens, but Comirnaty includes the presence of optimized codons to improve antigen expression. Okay, so before we get into V8, V9 and then what that means, understand that this is different. Regardless of the amino acid sequences being identical, and we're going to get into the studies that show you why optimized codons or codon optimization is very clearly a change and can lead to changes they didn't expect, right? And recognize this happened in a very small period of time and there wasn't new studies done and on and on and on. But what it says very clearly is that they're similar, or rather the same, they're identical amino acid sequences between BNT162B2 and Comirnaty, yet have optimized codons to improve antigen expression. Now, what they're showing you here is the two things that they're comparing: the emergency authorized and the one they're now calling Comirnaty. That's what this document is about. Now, what they're pointing to here is repeat dose toxicity evaluations, which is the point I'm going to make again, as he references in V8, V9. But I want to show this because what it's saying here again is the antigen coding RNA sequence is codon optimized and contains two proline mutations. They're talking about Comirnaty, obviously. Coming back to this one. The point here in showing you this is that this is what they're stating: optimized codons. Okay. Now, before we get into what that means from 2014 going forward, and the concerns there, I want to discuss something that was shared with me. Now, this is what somebody sent to me. I don't want to reveal their identity or anything. Someone's going to read what they said. Now, I want to get into this for the very purpose of being objective and discussing this in case maybe I'm missing something. I don't feel that this is. Let me just read it. It says, so basically you're saying the difference between Comirnaty and BNT162B2. You're saying that there is a difference. That's what he's pointing at, saying to me. But my research says that there is not actually a difference. Okay, so first of all, this is coming off of what they're stating. So just remember that. Like, we're all taking what they're saying at face value and trying to offer up insight in regard to what they're putting out there. But he says the non-clinical toxicology studies were done on two different variants of the BNT162B2, V8 and V9. Now, for what's interesting, well, let me finish it. And the V9 variant was the clinical candidate that was selected from the two vaccine variants. So when they refer to the repeat dose toxicity evaluations on Comirnaty, which we just pointed to, and a similar vaccine termed BNT162B2 V8, Comirnaty is the BNT162B2 V9 variant. If you look into the V9, V8 variants, the V9 includes the presence of optimized codons to improve antigen expression, exactly like what it says for Comirnaty, right? Okay, so if the point being is that if the, what they're arguing, essentially, is that within the documentation, they pulled the V9 version as opposed to the V8, and the V9 is the same. So what he's saying is that they're the same and the optimized codons were already there. I don't see that in my research. I will continue to look, but if you guys want to continue to research this and let me know what you think, regardless, does it not concern us that this is something that nobody's talking about? Like whether or not this was there to begin with, especially because of what I'm about to get into and showing that the very use of codon optimization, whether done in the beginning and not told or not discussed or done now after the fact, is something that is leading to potentially damaging situations. So here's two ways to look at this. I believe based on what I've seen that this is a change, right? I've already seen others discuss this in a similar way. I've done the research on the documentation. It seems to me quite clearly that there's a difference, that the additional add was done for a very clear reason, to increase what they thought was their end game, end result. Now that seems to have been done in between these processes because of what we're seeing, right? This is my take on it from what I've seen from the research. So as always, please look into it, come to your own conclusions. But the point is that if it was done in the beginning, I'm going to show you right now why this is likely why we're seeing inside one of the many angles that are leading to more problems, more adverse events, a thousandfold increase in spike protein production. We're going to look at all this stuff in the documentation from for COVID-19, specifically protein production, but in this case, it is the spike protein. Or if it was done afterward, that this was done in a way to make it look like it's better, but the same thing, but it's also going to increase the problems we're already seeing. Now, this is from 2014. A critical analysis of codon optimization in human therapeutics. It says, codon optimization describes gene engineering approaches that use synonymous codon changes to increase protein production. So that's what this is done for. So I want to ask you right out of the gate, are we trying to increase the production of spike proteins? Is that what's supposed to be happening? We're all very aware at this point that the spike protein is like the problem. It is very clearly the issue that is causing, I mean, they've already identified the spike protein itself as being cytotoxic, I believe, the very thing that's causing the problem, right? This is what even mainstream science is focused in on, right? That this is for instance, the Salk Institute saying that the spike protein alone can cause all of this, which is then it's a no-brainer to realize that that is the problem. So as we're either before or now increasing the optimization of the codons, which can increase protein production, I think we should ask why that makes sense. Now, applications for codon optimization include recombinant protein drugs and nucleic acid therapies, including gene therapy, mRNA therapy, and DNA-RNA vaccines. However, recent reports indicate that codon optimization can affect protein conformation and function. Remember all the words and terms they're using, because we're going to go through those in a different point about why what this can lead to can then also cause this stuff. Increase immunogenicity, which I think is the argument of doing this is going to increase how the immune effect. Right? But this is just like with the lipid nanoparticle concept. Yes, we can increase the lipid nanoparticles and increase the stability of the mRNA and getting it to its destination, except we're ignoring the fact that that causes all sorts of adverse events, right? So if we're going to use this, it increases whether it gives you a better immune response, but it's going to cause all the other things possibly we're going to look at, then that doesn't seem to make sense. Now, by the way, this is exactly what the science is concluding before this. And of course, reduce efficacy. Because that's what you want, right? So it causes a better immune response, but it doesn't work as well at the end of the day. So less people get it with a higher immune. Like that, this doesn't seem to make sense. We're in 2014, so you can argue at this point they've changed since then, but we'll go through the years. We critically review this subject, identifying additional potential hazards, including some unique to nucleic acid therapies. This analysis highlights the evolved complexity of codon usage and challenges the scientific basis for codon optimization. Challenges. Right, the evolved complexity of codon usage and the analysis itself highlights that and challenges the scientific basis for using what they just did or have done on the injections they're putting into people's arms right now. Consequently, codon optimization may not provide the optimal strategy for increasing protein production and may decrease the safety and efficacy of biotech therapeutics. Weird. Exactly what you'd want with your biotech therapeutics that they're putting in your arm right now. We suggest that the use of this approach is reconsidered. Make sure we hear that again. We suggest that the use of this approach is reconsidered, particularly for in-your-body applications. Now, that's the, I mean, you could go through this and find the same points. We're going to get deeper into the other ones. 2014, the Scripps Research Institute posted on NIH Public Access telling you that this is the wrong way to go. 2014. Here is, I did go to the concluding remarks, excuse me. So there's a part at the bottom that seemed more specific. This is the same study, but on the concluding remarks. Codarm optimization is often suggested as a primary consideration for generating high-expressing constructs suitable for gene therapy and genetic vaccines. But that's not what these are, though. You say that and you're a crazy madman. Although protein expression can be increased using these approaches, it is evident, however, that mRNAs contain numerous layers of information that overlap the amino acid code, and that this complexity can be disrupted by codon optimization. That's interesting. So the protein expression can be increased, sure, but it says the mRNAs contain numerous layers of information that overlap the amino acid code, and that complexity can be disrupted by codon optimization. So the whole focus of these are mRNA delivery, and the point is this can affect the mRNA itself. A more serious problem is that the scientific basis of codon optimization, at least in mammals, so you, does not support the codon usage, does not support that codon usage is rate limiting for protein expression. In addition, there are potentially serious consequences associated with using codon optimization, particularly for nucleic acid therapeutics. In the absence of analysis, these potential problems include disrupting the normal patterns of cognate and wobble tRNA usage, affecting protein structure and function. These are important to remember as we get to the end of this segment. Producing novel peptides with unknown biological activities, sounds safe, and altering post-transcriptional modifications that may modify protein ensembles. Post-transcriptional modifications, remember that as well. It says, we suggest further studies of current codon optimization approaches for genetic therapeutics and vaccines as the potential risks, in view of these problems, we suggest further studies, basically, as the potential risks of these approaches to patients may outweigh their usefulness. Well, that should sound sort of familiar, right? Benefits outweigh the risks. Well, they're finding right now, based on their research, that it seems that the benefits may not outweigh the risks in regard to this process that have already been done on things they're forcing on people right now without them knowing about it. Now, again, whether or not it was posted on some abstract FDA, you know, study somewhere on their website, you know, which what we're trying to find all the time, which is still impossible to find. People have a right to know these things. This is what informed consent is supposed to be. If there is something that can cause risk, then they need to tell you that. They're going to act like this is too abstract. No, if this leads to potential risk, the absolute definition of informed consent is that you need to be told this is a risk. 1 in 1 million, 1 in 100, 1 in 10. You need to be told this increases your risk. They're not doing that, and we know that. I'll make this even more clear as we go through today. It's sinister how they are choosing to hide this from you because it creates vaccine hesitancy. Well, how about we should be hesitant? Now, this is from 2018. So you see, we're going forward increment by increment. Codon optimization in the production of recombinant biotherapeutics, sort of like what we're talking about, potential risks and considerations. But and by the way, this is the same study here and here, same name, as you can see. I just started on this one and I didn't want to have to do it again. And I realized there's only the abstract here. So I jumped over to the full one, which is what we should always be doing, reading the full study, right? All right. So this one starts off by saying, biotherapeutics are increasingly becoming the mainstay in the treatment of a variety of human conditions, particularly in oncology and hematology. The production of therapeutic antibodies, cytokines, and fusion proteins have markedly accelerated these fields over the past decades. Today, most protein therapeutics are expressed as recombinant proteins in mammalian cell lines. An expression technology commonly used to increase protein levels involves codon optimization. Codon optimization has been reported to increase protein expression by 1,000-fold, potentially 1,000-fold. I mean, first of all, we're talking about something that they claim does one, that it makes one and stops and doesn't go in your blood like it very clearly does based on the scientific research and stays right in the muscle, which it very clearly doesn't based on the scientific research. It's obvious that that's not what's happening. whether we're going to talk about the self-amplifying discussion, which it seems Pfizer has always been, they're just keeping that from people's view, or on and on and on. Regardless, now there's a codon optimization, which seems to dramatically increase the production of the very thing that Salk Institute and others have said by itself can lead to disease, not just illness, but disease, which can then be spread of its own accord. It says, however, in mammalian cells, assumptions underlying codon optimization appear to be poorly supported or unfounded. So in your body, in a mammal's body, assumptions underlying codon optimization appear to be poorly supported or unfounded. This is 2018. Moreover, because not all synonymous codon mutations are neutral, codon optimization can lead to alterations in protein conformation and function. So if it doesn't make the same thing or make it the right way, or if it doesn't function properly, is that going to do what you're supposed to do? Can it possibly also then lead to problems in your body? Yes, yes to all of that. But let's just kind of go with the flow as we're being forced to take this thing. Well, let's keep going. Further down on this article, it goes on to say something pretty interesting things. Mammalian codon optimization, what's the harm? Synonymous codon mutations are known to potentially affect protein expression at various levels, and there is mounting evidence indicating the translation itself is affected and can lead to dramatic alterations in the conformation and processing of some proteins. A critical issue with codon optimization is that while it maintains the amino acid sequence of a protein, it can disrupt multiple other layers of information encoded in mRNA coding sequences. I mean, this seems to be concerning. These overlapping functional elements are often difficult to identify. Some of these elements can affect the rate of elongation locally, alter protein folding, remember all these, lead to changes in protein conformation and post-translational modifications. Now, first of all, we're assuming, by the way, this is only going to end up focusing on the spike protein, which is not an assumption we should make. But what it's saying is the multiple layers of the encoded mRNA, the coding sequences. Like, it seems to suggest that this is something that could affect the very thing that this is meant to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about any gene therapy, let's just call it gene therapy based, so they don't lose their minds about this obvious gene therapy product. And talk about something that is doing such, at least based on gene therapy ideas, and we're talking about something that could manipulate the mRNA coding sequences. And then what's it going to do? Good, test it out on your body. I'll stay over here and wait and see what happens. It says, lead to changes in protein conformation and post-transitional modifications. That's important. Although codon optimization resulted in increased protein yield, again, which I just don't understand why that's something we would want, there were associated glycosylation defects that interfered with correct processing of the envelope protein, which led to the production of an inactive protein. Another variation on where I'm going to go to in the end of this segment. All these weird situations with these proteins can lead to disease, problems in your body. It says it can lead to differences with the natural protein that trigger production of anti-drug antibodies in patients. See, now we're talking about the same kind of thing where it creates a problem, your body reacts to it, and then it starts attacking itself. Differences may include glycosylation factors affecting the integrity of the recombinant protein and conformational alterations. Under lost opportunities, and I find this very interesting. This says a potential problem associated with codon optimization is that it is routinely used to try to increase protein yields when a protein moves from academic and preclinical studies to clinical trials, right? So this goes back to the point the person was making before. So if this seems like a time when that would be done, when they're trying to, and again, I don't even know why that makes sense. We're talking about something that has changed. Right. So if you're using studies to make a point, and based on those studies, you're allowed to go further. And then in that further process, you change it and act like you're still studying the same thing. Maybe this is my ignorance in the process. It doesn't make sense to me. Regardless, we're talking about academic to preclinical studies or then to clinical trials. What I'm looking at here, what it seems like to me, is clinical trials to real world emergency forced coercion. And now, because we're seeing, I don't know, I mean, this is an assumption based on motivation that maybe it's not working. Maybe they're trying to desperately hide what's happening. So they change something and this gets approved, right? So this is the same thing we're seeing, just at a different stage of the process, if this is what's happening. It says, however, it is likely that many academic and preclinical studies are performed using gene constructs based on natural mRNA sequences. Codon-optimized variants, however, may behave differently and underlie instances in which a protein generated very promising data in preclinical studies, but failed to perform as expected after being scaled up under GMP conditions. So basically what we saw, they go, oh my gosh, look, like we called, I think it was the, even Forbes, I believe, called it the hot flash in the pan results. Right? Where instead of doing a 2-year study like they're supposed to, they do a 3-month study and they do it real hot and fast and go, look at those amazing results, and they stop. Right? So that's what happened. 95, Fauci says 100%. It's 100% effective. And then it doesn't happen in the real world. Then what do you do? Codon optimization. The concern is that highly effective protein drugs may be negatively affected. Highly effective protein drugs may be negatively affected. Or another way you could frame that is the concern is that already damaging injections may become even worse because the assumption that it's already highly effective is not one that I'm willing to make because that's not what I'm seeing. So if effective drugs can be negatively affected, well, then already negative ones could be even more negatively affected. The point being, this action can cause that. I think that's what we're seeing to a degree. I really do. It says here, we do not know the extent to which codon optimization of recombinant proteins has resulted in reduced efficacy or increased immunogenicity. However, it is likely that in some cases, these proteins represent lost opportunities and may be worth revisiting with non-codon optimized mRNAs, right? So the argument being that they inserted this into the process because they were concerned about their results, because that's what all of these companies are worried about, and that hurt the end result, the product that they then still used. And the point being that where we missed an opportunity, it could have been exponentially better had we not manipulated this in a way to try to end, to seek a number. This is particularly true for any proteins or antibodies that did not behave as expected after codon optimization, e.g. after being scaled up for clinical trials, meaning they're, it's like giving it a steroid shot right before you're trying to get it, give it a trial, right? And the point is it seemingly has negative effects as well. Finally, it says in our conclusions, numerous studies indicate that the scientific bases for, that's what it was, it's plural. Sorry, something from before. Numerous studies indicate that the scientific bases for codon optimization in mammals are poorly supported. Numerous studies indicate that the scientific basis for this process in your body is poorly supported. So regardless of where, when, how, or what, this is what they're telling you. I find that to be pretty telling. Because of this, it is difficult to justify the use of codon optimization as a tool for bioproduction of therapeutic proteins. So like what we're using it for. The question that therefore needs to be asked is, why is codon optimization still commonly used? Sort of like, why do we use a lot of things that still hurt people, like fluoride in your water, or you know, everything we put in our air, or kinds of 5G type stuff we're talking about today? They don't care because they don't care about the end result of how it hurts you. One possible reason is that in some cases, higher levels of protein expression are required for clinical trials and commercialization. Exactly my point. And these expression levels can sometimes be obtained by using codon-optimized mRNAs, regardless of the underlying mechanism. You see how this is something used to get a result, ignoring the cost, right? Collateral damage, I guess, to use their analogy of war. Unfortunately, some of the protein problems associated with codon optimization, which can affect protein function and increase immunogenicity, may not be seen until the drug is in late stage clinical trials or after the drug is on the market. Well, there you go. Exactly. It's very frustrating. Nobody's being told about a lot of the stuff that's going on. This goes to 2019. Effects of codon optimization on coagulation factor, 9, translation and structure implications for protein and gene therapies. Codon optimization involves synonymous substitutions to increase protein expression. It had long been presumed that synonymous variants, which by definition do not alter the primary amino acid sequence, so to the same point to what the FDA's argument or statement is in that document, have no effect on protein structure and function. However, a critical mass of reports suggest in 2019 that synonymous codon variations may impact protein conformation, right? And this is what we're kind of getting at here. These are not what you would want to be happening. Here's what it says in results. The study to study the effects of codon optimization on protein translation and conformation, This was just to make the point of they modified the human wild type F9 coding sequence. So that's just they reference WT in a minute. So that's what they used in this process. The optimized sequence differed from the original sequence by 22.5% on the nucleoside level and by 60.9% on the codon level. So it seems that there's differences. The optimized sequence differed from the original sequence by 22.5% on the nucleoside level, 60.9% on the codon level. These metrics appeared to be significantly different between the two constructs. And there's a couple more points here at the bottom. It says under discussion, once considered inconsequential, synonymous mutations are now accepted as substantial contributors to the cellular processes determining protein structure and function. In the last decade, there has been an exponential increase in published research on the mechanisms by which synonymous mutations influence protein folding. The clinical consequences of synonymous mutations and the role of synonymous mutations in evolutionary biology. Most of the studies linking synonymous mutations to disease have focused on single nucleotide substitutions. Generating a codon-optimized gene, on the other hand, involves a large-scale alteration of the sequence. The knowledge gap that we aim to fill is the impact of synonymous mutations in the effectiveness and safety of codon-optimized proteins. So I guess we can assume they figured that out in the meantime. I haven't seen that. However, little is understood about how proteins synthesized using codon optimization compare to those obtained from the wild-type gene. This is sort of like we're arguing that mRNA vaccines are just the same as the old version. No, they're not, in fact, and we're still finding that out in your body. This is an important area of investigation because although codon optimization proteins offer advantages to the biopharmaceutical industry, they also carry potential risks as their modified nucleotide sequences may have unpredictable effects on the structure and function of proteins. That is the point to walk away with. Modify the process they took may have unpredictable effects on the structure and function of the proteins. And what they just told you is we may not find those out until way down the line in the market while they're being used. That should concern you. Finally, last point in this article, codon optimization or the study can have unpredictable results. Codon optimized proteins are not always identical to their wild type counterparts. Okay, well, that sure seems to put a stick in the spokes, doesn't it? The benefits of increased expression, however, have made this technique a common practice, both in academic and biotechnology settings. That's an important sentence right there. They're telling you, we don't always know what's going to happen. It may not even do what it's supposed to do. But this common practice increases what we say on paper, what we can show in our numbers and our clinical trials. So we'll do it anyway. Common practice in the field of, you know, aggressively driven nanotechnology, you know, science, what the government and politics have been driving since for 20 years now. This is the focus. This is where we're going. They've been fixated tunnel vision on this end result for 20 years. This is why we forget and ignore things like this. I believe that was it. Right. Okay. And in that study, next, we're going to jump over to a quick, this is from an AdGene blog discussion from somebody. I just wanted to point out what she says here. I thought it was very interesting. Very, very clearly knows what you're talking about. Codon optimization could remove information encoded in the primary sequence of a particular gene, which could affect translation initiation. And of course, the point is studies I looked at and actually reviewed. You can look it for yourself. Codon optimization could remove information encoded in the primary sequence of a particular gene, which could affect translation initiation. Now, I just want you to think about that sentence and whether that could do something more than what it's supposed to. We always pretend like we know for sure, well, that didn't work out for the spike protein, did it? It's doing all sorts of different things that they didn't expect or they're trying to hide. So whether or not this will affect other things in your body, we should be asking. But it says this could affect synonymous mutations, which have even been linked to some diseases. That's what we're going to get into next. It has been reported that 5 to 10% of human genes contain a region where a synonymous mutation could be harmful. It's very interesting. Here are just a couple of points I'm going to make about what these are all the things we've heard in these discussions. Protein misfolding, the folding of proteins. It says an error in protein conformation. Protein conformation is one of the other statements they made, can lead to disease. So this thing that it's very clear that this process can lead to, whether it is 100%, well, again, as always, we can discuss that. Can it? Yes. It can 100% in some cases cause the things that can lead to this disease or disease in general, specifically degenerative diseases. What are we seeing a lot of right now? A lot of ALS, a lot of Alzheimer's, a lot of things being named something else or being caused, they say, by something else. Mystery brain disease happening in Canada. Or how about the fact that multiple studies have shown that prion's disease or these types of brain diseases are obviously linked to the injection. But who cares? It says, what are the genetic and molecular causes for incorrectly formed proteins? Now read through this because it seems a lot of negative things can be caused by what this can do. Optimized codons can lead to this exact problem. And there's plenty of other research around it. Here's the NIH itself. Altered proteins, altered protein shapes, which is what they're discussing in multiple studies over there, may explain differences in some brain diseases. Here's 2017, protein post-translational modifications, which is what all of those are referring to, roles in aging and age-related disease. These things can lead to your disease problems. At the end of the day, as always, guys, I'm just trying to give you more information for you to research for yourselves so you can look at this stuff and come to your own conclusions about it. Because to me, it seems quite obvious this is just one of a litany of things that are being kept from your view, right? I mean, if it comes to the point to where, I mean, I'll leave it there because there's a lot of stuff that's left up in the air in general. They are hiding stuff from you. So we're left to try to piece together what they're not showing you based on things that they're, that, you know, their data, which is very confusing to a lot of people, arguing from within their narrative. But overall, there's a lot of stuff going on with this in regard to Veyers and everything else we'll point to a little bit in a second that show you that there's problems here. It also shows you, interestingly enough, the correlation with the increase of the booster and everything else. There's something different going on. We can see this exponentially going up right now and predominantly from the people injected, as much as they're trying to hide that. And we'll show you a bit of that today. So why is it only now starting? Maybe because there's more people injected, I guess. Maybe more time between, certainly possible. Or it could be that there's something different. It's a variation happening. Maybe their effort to try to make it look like it's working is increasing spike protein production, which is hurting more people in a more dramatic way. Possible. Seems pretty frustrating to see that there's a lot going on that we need to piece together when these are people telling you that they're conducting a transparent process and we're giving you all the information. Well, on that note, let's look at the breakthrough case point really quickly to make the point about how they're always deceiving you in a million different ways. We just talked about this. Here's what they say in this doc, in their, as of October 12th, CDC received reports from 50 U.S. states and territories of 31,895 patients with COVID vaccine breakthrough infections who were hospitalized or died. I keep telling you, they are not showing you the full picture of just the total. Yet nonetheless, all the news and everywhere else are reporting this number as the total. But let me just very quickly prove to you why that's flagrantly not true. And just to be clear, the CDC is not stating here that that's the total, even though they have done that. I've seen Walensky state that as the total multiple times in interviews. It's just like the whole, we didn't tell you Iraq was involved with 9/11. You know, they very clearly were trying to influence that decision or that mindset, whether or not they blatantly stated it. Same kind of a thing, because this is being represented as the total. Or even how they said 10,000 a while ago, they weren't making it clear that that was only hospitalizations or deaths. And even then, I promise you that's not the full picture. But to make this clear, somebody recently commented on my website, not sure if they wanted to be named or not, but thank you for reaching out. And this is from Washington alone, just Washington, as of October 13th. Very easy to check out. 51,304 vaccine breakthrough cases have been identified in Washington state. 50,000. Okay, so if we're looking over here at 31,000, and they're acting like, or at least people are representing that as the total, whereas just Washington alone, from when they started counting, there's 50,000 plus. Bloomberg found over 100,000, and I don't even think Washington was one of the states they reached out to. That's just, I'm trying to remember, but regardless, it was only 35 states, if I remember correctly. They're manipulating the picture, guys, and it's getting even more obvious. As I understand it, the UK, just as of today or yesterday, or the last report rather, has stopped including the breakdown of vaxxed versus unvaxxed. Isn't that funny how it was all they could scream at you when they wanted you to look in them? But now that something is clearly changing, we're just going to stop showing you that. That's very advantageous for them, right? I mean, obviously that works for what they don't want you to see that more, because all they can do is keep going, whoa, it's okay, because the majority of people are vaccinated, but that's because the most people are. most people are injected. That's why it makes sense. It doesn't make sense because it went from it's rare and not happening to, yes, it makes sense because most people are injected, to now when they're hospitalized and dying and they just keep pushing it off until they're just not talking about it anymore. That's a lie. And the real picture, if just a glance from just this year so far, 50,000, you're being deceived. Here's the show I did to go over this from before. Same one I pointed to a moment ago. Important. No, it's funny. That was weird. Took the picture away. Here's the actual article. Homeland Security Secretary tests positive for COVID-19. As I said, extraordinarily rare, very uncommon, yet simultaneously everywhere. Right? I mean, it's never ends. The people that we continue to see continue to be, you know, breakthrough cases, of course. And the one that's probably on everyone's minds right now is Colin Powell. I kind of feel like this has either been aggressively manipulated after the fact or was meant to be, you know, like the way that this has been spread. Bottom line, here's the mainstream story on this. And people that don't look into this will be attacked as fake news because they don't know the full story, is that he apparently had some kind of rare blood cancer, which I didn't know that. So I'm not really digging into this story particularly, but maybe I would like to know whether that's actually true. Did he have a rare blood cancer situation from before he got injected? I'd like to know that. Regardless, the story is he had a rare blood cancer issue, which led to him becoming immunocompromised. Then he got the injections, both of them. Then he caught COVID-19, they say, and then he died from COVID-19. And the only reason he died is because he was immunocompromised. That's a story. Well, there's a lot of open stuff in there to pick at, right? One, first of all, as I've been saying from the beginning, and I was actually just talking with my assistant about this just moments ago, it's pretty ridiculous that immunocompromised used to be, well, you don't get injected, right? We were saying this in the beginning. The very point is that, well, you know, immunocompromised and people who can't get injections, like that was the original discussion. Now it's like, well, they're the first ones that should get it. Well, I don't know why that makes sense because there's more risk involved for that. Regardless, you're looking at an example of somebody who got both injections and then died from COVID-19. And all they can say is, well, excuse me, I shouldn't say it like that, then died. And they say it's COVID-19. Can we not consider in the COVID clown world we live in right now that that was the injection that led to that problem? They won't even consider that point as they admit that this is possible. It's quite ridiculous. But even more interesting, a Fox News anchor deletes his tweet suggesting that the death of Colin Powell raises new concerns about the efficacy. Why would you delete that? Like, you can see how clearly these people are playing some kind of a game, and I don't believe the fake back and forth resistance at all. You delete your tweet about a valid concern about a very real world situation that is obviously showing you that there's efficacy problems. They're telling you that there's efficacy problems, right? They're admitting to you that it's dramatically low because Delta. And then he puts out something that says, well, we might have issues with efficacy while we're seeing that problem. And that's an issue because fake news. I mean, we've lost the plot here, guys. This is becoming outrageously ridiculous. And you know what? Just for fun.
We also, as the chairman mentioned.
Oops, hold on. How did I do that? Here it is. Apologies for that.
So now we have two vaccines that are really quite effective. The mRNA vaccine, highly effective.
Extraordinarily efficacious. 94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease and virtually 100% efficacious.
Because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive than the results of the clinical trial.
Just making those all line up exactly with the song, think how much effort that took.
got to make sure we clarify that with people. It has nothing to do whether or not it's effective. We know it's highly effective. Highly effective.
Now, I actually added that last part that I showed on my show, which some people have kept on there on their clips on Twitter, which is good. It just adds him saying, well, we're going to take your choice away, or you should take your let your choice up for, you know, freedom, whatever. It's ridiculous comments he makes. What's funny is on that little montage, somebody said, oh, it's great, except there was one article that was from the wrong date, so it's all fake. Or so. It's just like, really? And truthfully, I went through, I paused and looked at it. Every single one is about COVID-19, except one, which is about, I guess, from 2015. Probably just a mistake, to be quite honest, but regardless, every one of them is actually about COVID-19 other than that one. And what's funny, I still don't know who made that. And it continues to be, it just like I said, it hits with every single beat of the song. It's like, that took a lot of time and effort. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the clip I played in the beginning. I just saw Whitney Webb share out today. I'm not sure. I believe she might've made it. I'm not sure. I just wanted to point out where I saw it, shared that in the beginning. But talking about efficacy, right? I mean, it's just insulting to our intelligence that, yeah, so now you're going to delete his tweet. Come on. Have a little gumption, bud. Have some constitution. Stand up for what you think. Deleting your tweet. I don't believe that was real, in my opinion, if that's what's going to happen. But going on to side effects, because, you know, what they're pretending isn't happening here. Accomplished Minnesota runner goes into cardiac arrest during Boston Marathon. Now, could it possibly happen? Yes. Just randomly? Sure. But when's the last time, as we bring up every time we talk about the collapsing athlete topic, that you saw a world athlete, or, you know, in this case, Boston Marathon runner, but we're seeing people in the Olympics, NFL players, soccer players, world-renowned athletes at the peak of their physical condition dropping dead, having a heart attack, 24-year-old people having heart attacks, children having heart attacks. This doesn't make any sense. Accomplished runner has a cardiac arrest during the Boston Marathon. On that, I want to make sure we realize that Boston Marathon runners were talking about having need for vaccination or negative tests. So possible, regardless, it blows me away. This is happening so frequently, and we just keep dismissing it, or they keep dismissing it. We just talked about the fact that young children are we're having the sort of the collapsing athlete topic. I'm going to do a segment on probably in the next show about children in the same way. I have people sending me letters all over the place from different schools, from all over the country. Basically, letters they send out saying, you know, we're horrified to inform you that basically a child died in the middle of class. When's the last time you remember that? Right? You all went to school. We all did. Were you ever in a classroom where a kid just dropped dead in front of you? I'm sure some of you were, but it's probably very few and far between. I never had that experience. Now I'm looking at five different letters I've been sent from all different schools around the country, different time frames of people saying a child just dropped dead. But let's pretend like that's totally normal in COVID clown world. Here's an example of it right here. On Zoom call with the rest of his class, dies. Disgusting. So on that note, I want to point out something I saw Kim Iverson share. Now, I wonder if we've already pointed to this. I don't think we had, because I read this and it seemed different. And I think we've already looked at this in regard to other points about OSHA and other things in regard to how they're dealing with this. But here's the point. Under vaccine related, it says, are adverse reactions to COVID-19 vaccines recordable on the OSHA record keeping log? Now, understand that this stuff happens on the job or anywhere else. What are they supposed to do? Now, they're being told they should report this to VAERS, but that's mostly for hospitals, for doctors. And on top of that, we know that people that are forcing this on people are not going to want to report this stuff because they are anti-vaxxers. All that does is add to the hesitancy. That's what they're telling people. Here's what it says. DOL and OSHA, and just for, so you remember that they're the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the people we referenced early on in the mask discussion, as well as other federal agencies are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID vaccinations and also does not wish to incentivize employees' vaccination efforts. So that's their statement. As a result of those things, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904's recording requirements. So a law that requires any employer to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination at least through May 2022. Think about how self-serving that is. We will reevaluate this position then. So they're not, so we're going to force people to do this, but we're going to make sure that we don't disincentivize employers from doing this so we don't record the side effects. Doesn't that not in it basically tacitly admit that there's a lot enough side effects this is going to make employers not want to do it if they know they have to report them? This is crazy clown world that we're finding ourselves in, where these things are basically admitting this to you. On top of that, the fact that they're admitting on the other side of this that we're not going to report to you the side effects of what is happening because we want people to do this. Yes, exactly. That's called hiding side effects because it creates vaccine hesitancy on the OSHA website. They are telling you that we are not going to enforce the law, which is to require employees to record the side effects of an injection, a medical intervention that we're forcing on them. Right? That blows my mind. That not that it's happening, that they're stating it right there. This is where we are today. And it's going to happen anyway. They're going to keep forcing this on people no matter what. Now, on the note of VAERS, remember that VAERS itself is a database run by jointly by the FDA and the CDC. It is basically the only primary location for people to report these things, right? This is what they've always used and what, by the way, they still have used during this process while simultaneously dismissing it when we point to the negative ones. So here's Scott Adams. This is I forget who this person even is, best-selling books, I don't know, it doesn't matter to me. Scott Adams is saying, for the few people who don't already know this, October 15th, interestingly on October 15th, VAERS is not a database of verified vaccine injuries. Number two, VAERS is a database of reported and possible injuries. In a pandemic, VAERS morphs into a database of mass hysteria sprinkled with credible data. Great. So he's telling you to dismiss it. So they're possible injuries, but we're not going to look at, you know how you find out if they were real? By investigating them. That's not happening, right? We've told you this. We just proved to you yet again that Maddie, I believe was her name, her daughter is still yet to even get a phone call about her life-altering side effects that she's in a wheelchair now because of. They've never even responded to her report because why? Well, it's probably fake news. And this person's saying, I just did a search on VAERS and there's a lot of reports. That's all he says. But now you have to counterbalance that with, well, they're probably all fake, which is what he's ultimately saying. That's even actually what he's saying right there. During a pandemic, it's absolutely just mostly fake. This person says, and yet the CDC uses it all the time for its analysis. But he goes, makes sense in non-pandemic times. And I said, except they've used it numerous times already throughout COVID to make specific points while dismissing other when others do the same. They are safety signals and should be addressed as such. And I know you know that. People will be people. Nothing new other than your dismissal. To pretend that because somebody might post something wrong, even though we haven't proven that, or just that, you know, how, to what degree, is nothing new. People will always do this in any political situation or any other situation for that matter because they want to. His dismissing this is what's crazy. But first of all, his really assuming argument that he apparently doesn't care to look into, that it only is in non-pandemic times, is flat out false. I've pointed to it many times already that the CDC has already pointed to VAERS data. You've seen it on the show. While they're simultaneously dismissing it, and we would do the exact same thing. And when they discuss it, they don't discuss it as unverified, do they? This is an obvious manipulation. Now, a lot of people made some great points on this. This person says, dismissing vaccine safety signals by pointing out that our vaccine safety system is incapable of confirming vaccine injuries is completely bonkers. It's like blindly ignoring a flashing red meltdown light on a nuclear reactor because it could just be a faulty connection. I mean, it is willfully ignorant. This is what this person is saying is what medical misinformation looks like. This is what dangerous medical misinformation looks like. I agree with this entirely. Not only is it bonkers, what he's saying is you're dismissing the system. So what else are we supposed to be using? You can't just go, nah, it's not even done right. Because remember that the HHS, Health and Human Services, and Harvard did a study on this and came to the conclusion that it only shows you less than 1% of the total reports. And they're talking about the real world reports, not just the faulty ones they can dismiss, but less than 1% of what ends up being the case, the real stuff. Then they said, hey, CDC, seeing as how this is our finding, let's work together on a real world system that taps into real medical reports and real time information. And the CDC went dark. Del Bigtree is the first place I saw this, and this is 100% true. He proved it on his show. I talked about it as well. They stopped returning phone calls. They stopped returning emails. And guess what? Never did anything since then. And we're still using that system. You know why? Because it can be dismissed. We need to understand that. Another great point. Kevin McKernan points out. But by the way, what's funny is Kevin McKernan is somebody who I'm interested in actually speaking to. I believe he was the PhD from before. I thought he had it in his thing up here. But it says, now you are making excuses for the only tracking tool we have being broken. You are a real productive member of this discussion. Thank you, Captain Obvious. It is only safety data. It is, if the only safety database is broken, how can you claim it's safe? Gee, don't think too hard on that one. Your head might explode, Scott, right? How can we claim it's safe and effective if the very system we're using to find that out is not working by your own admission, by trusting Pfizer? Yep, we're right back there. Now, I pointed out in his point, I should have just waited to my comment. This makes sense in non-pandemic times. It said, except they've used it numerous times already throughout COVID to make specific points. Oh, I think I just read that already. Oh, that's right. I posted it again. That's why. Which is, again, important to understand. They've already used it. Now, Thomas Massey points out, in regard to this coverage for injuries, where was this? I believe we were just talking about this. If the vaccine is completely safe, why is... Oh, that's right. See, I knew... I think I had... Yeah, okay. I think I had this mixed up. So, first of all, here is a tweet from the Federal Education Association. The Department of Labor recently issued FECA FECA Bulletin 22-01 with a subject line of, quote, coverage for injuries resulting from the COVID-19 vaccination mandate for federal employees. The full FECA bulletin can be read at this location. As I said, fantastic. So not only are the government and vaccine companies not accountable for injury or death after injection, but if there is an issue, you pay for it as the American people with your tax dollars. So this is all fake news, but here's how they deal with those fake injuries. Your tax dollars, right? Because that the what they're using there to fund those result, the federal employees, the coverage for those things come from your tax dollars. Great. Perfect how this works out, where they put the cost on you, even though you aggressively, like, think about how wild that is, that you're half the country is still pushing back and forcing them, saying no and protesting, and yet they're using your money as they coercively take most of it, 50% of your money anyway, and use it to fund the very thing that you're trying to stop. Happening everywhere. Now, by the way, I forget if I included this today. In case I didn't, I'll just state it out. Right now, there's only 40-something percent of the world that is injected, right? So on a little bit of positive note, as we see that, you know, they're claiming that more than half this country has been injected with both, realize that if you're, because since this is quite obviously a worldwide agenda, you're still the majority. If you have not been injected in the world, you are still the majority of people on the planet that are standing against this. Something to consider. But finally, Thomas Massey points out in the same discussion, if the vaccine is completely safe, why is Biden planning to compensate government workers who are injured as a result of his vaccine mandate? Who will compensate those who don't work for the government but are injured as a result of the vaccine mandate? Exactly. Nobody will. Now, obviously, their argument would be, well, of course, nothing's 100%, even though they literally said 100% like 11 times when this started. But now nothing is, you dummy. I don't know why the people that believe all this can't see that obvious goalpost moving. They choose not to, is the point. Politics, two-party politics. But they would say that it's not completely safe. Therefore, there are some, and that's the huge population. So it's going to look like a lot. That's how they play this game. But it can't be safe and effective if it's hurting people. Now, bringing this over into what else could be taken, right? On top of all of this, whatever you should, the point as always is I'm not promoting anything. You should have a choice. And this seems to be the one with the most obvious, the most obvious example of how they're being dishonest about this stuff. And that's about ivermectin. But you should have a choice with anything about your body or anything in general, by the way. But if you're in a situation where you're dealing with a hospital, with a doctor, with your child, there's no point. The point we've gotten to where doctors can like angrily put, say you have to leave because you ask what's in something shows you how crazy this all is. This happened before we got here. The vaccine thing has been clearly building. And please recognize probably why that was the case. Years before it. You should have every right to know exactly what's in it. They probably get angry because they don't know what's in it. But if you are in a situation where you're dealing with whatever they tell you you're dealing with, and they say we have nothing else, or how about before they do anything, if you want ivermectin, you say, this is what I want. You don't have a right to force treatment on me. I don't want that. Now, here is a post talking about, or rather just I wanted to share the guy who I got the study from. He's pointing out horse dewormer and points to this study. So thank you for sharing this. This is where I saw it. Here's the study. I'm just going to read you the one main part. This is from September. So it's not from 20 years ago. It's not from last year. It's not from 2018. It's from during this whole process. Now it says, ivermectin, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honored distinction with indicated efficacy against a new global scourge. I believe we pointed to this already, but I wanted to read this. And maybe I've already read this, but I want to read this paragraph again. Just walk away from this with seeing how ridiculous it is that we can act like this is not just dangerous and unconcerned and, you know, unverified and no scientific research to back it up, or that it's horse paste. Like, that's the equivalent, that's the narrative, or the fact that, you know, Joe Rogan can literally be prescribed this, and yet they'll continue to say he's taking horse paste. And then Sanjay Gupta can admit they were wrong, and then make the rounds on CNN by arguing that the opposite. Because they're all totally honest, right? When he's pressured on the spot, when he knows that everyone's watching, he says, yeah, they should have done that. Then he goes on CNN, and he goes, yeah, he was wrong. Recently, Dr. Satoshi Amura, the Nobel co-laureate, by the way, which Gupta said also, yep, Nobel Prize, so he knows about this, for the discovery of ivermectin, and colleagues conducted, so this Nobel co-laureate and his colleagues conducted a comprehensive review of ivermectin clinical activity against COVID-19. And they concluded, these experts, that the preponderance of the evidence, not just this one study, but all the evidence they have in front of them in regard to COVID-19, demonstrated major reductions in mortality and morbidity. How are we here? Our review of that evidence, updated with consideration of several new studies, supports the same conclusion. Good God, guys, it is very, very apparent. Like, how can you show this to somebody who believes that it's horse paste and they walk away thinking it's horse paste? This is unequivocal. That these experts have found this with their clinical, their full body of evidence, the preponderance of evidence, and their studies themselves concluding the same thing with these experts, with the Nobel laureate, with all of this. I mean, it's just ridiculous where we are when this stuff can be dismissed. Robin Minotti shares this. This is Dr. Nijon Eccles, I believe, one of the most respected integrated medicine physicians in the UK. He holds a raft of medical and academic qualifications, including the MBBS, and is a member of the Royal College of Physicians. He also holds a PhD in pharmacology. Listen to what he has to say.
Anyway, let me roll the story on. She was put on dexamethasone and oxygen, started to do well initially, but then 3 weeks into her admission, they couldn't get her off oxygen. Every time they took her off oxygen, she saturated to 80% again. So they weren't making progress. So I spoke to this was a different consultant she was under now. I spoke to this new consultant and said, are you familiar with the work on that's being done with ivermectin? She wasn't. So I said, well, I want my mother on it. I said, I'll send you some information. Please read it, and I'll come back to you. Following day, she'd read the information. She said, it's all very interesting, but I can't prescribe it. Because even if I wanted to, the pharmacy wouldn't get it for me to use. So I said, yes, but I can prescribe it, can't I? So she said, look, I'll tell you what, and I give credit to this consultant because she said, if you send it to the ward, I will write it on her drug chart and I'll make sure the nurses give it to her. 5 days later, she was discharged from hospital. So that was my first real life, very personal experience with this drug. It's fair to say this thing rescued my mother. I don't think she would have come out of hospital otherwise. I will write it on her drug. 5 days later, she was discharged from hospital.
God, that is unreal. So what you're searing at here is a far, 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 far more highly credentialed expert being superseded by politics, by administrators, who then fired the doctor who listened to the expert. Are you confused? You shouldn't be. It's very obvious what's happening. No, see, you know, I was going to say that before. Somebody's pointing out that Kevin person I was referencing before is not the guy that was the moron that I was referencing before in the past, by the way. Just for those that know who I'm talking about, there's a person who's very clearly late been shown to be wrong in what's going on today, what he was arguing in the beginning. That's not the same person. But for this doctor to reference this or prescribe this to a doctor, based on what we just saw, like, this is not the first time this information has been in front of us, guys. There's a lot. That's why they talk about the preponderance of the evidence. It's all very clear. And yet he can prescribe it. She can give it based on the prescription, based on the expert saying it's the right thing to do. And they can then just let her go. If you don't see politics in this process, you are blind. That is crazy to me. Now, finally, on a similar note, I want to point this out. Cannabidiol, an article from, in general, it's on what I always point out, the U.S. National Library of Medicine, NIH. It is always good to point out that it's a preprint. But this is an interesting study about something else that could have positive effects. Cannabidiol inhibits SARS-CoV-2 replication and promotes the host innate immune response. Of course it does. Now, what's funny to me is that this seems to be similarly, this is what ivermectin does in one regard, as well as what these pills they're making also try to do, inhibit replication, as well as we know the Pfizer protease inhibitor, and we've talked about these in the past. But what's interesting is that this is another angle of something that seems to challenge the need for some new technological gene therapy manipulation, experimental injection, all this stuff. If you can simply do this, and you don't hear talk with people that only think this means smoking, clearly don't understand what cannabidiol is, on top of the fact that even if it was THC, you don't have to smoke it. I would argue the most healthy thing you can do with something, whether with CBD or THC, is just blend the damn thing in a shake. I'm blanking on the term all of a sudden. It won't get you high, but it will very clearly have a lot of very healthy effects. I'm telling you, there's a huge, all kinds of things. But in this case, we're talking about cannabidiol, CBD getting in your body. That can happen through liquids. It can happen through all sorts of things. And they're telling you, the study is telling you that this inhibits the replication of COVID-19. Now, what's interesting to me is I made this joke before. I said, put this in front of Alex Burns and you'll make his head explode and then he'll block you like he did with me, even though I was just pointing out that it's interesting to me that the very people that are arguing that cannabis is cause schizophrenia and war on drugs and the whole thing, which he clearly supports and has written about many times, he's unable to address the fact that it's the same people he's criticizing right now of their ability to lie to you about injections and so on and so on. I just find this humorous to me because it's quite obvious. If you're still stuck in reefer madness mindset, there's something going on there. This is an interesting point, and probably why a lot of people that are counterculture, put it that way, are faring pretty well. I'll let you read through this for yourself. I mean, it's the same. The bottom line is exactly what you might think. As it says, it potently blocks replication in lung epithelial cells. Gee, exactly where it matters most, right? But who cares? Don't talk about that. Just force the things that we're making. How much you want to bet they come out with some variation of this as well? Hey, Merck's got a new pill. Of course they will. But Don't forget the ivermectin discussion, because there's a lot more going on out there that are that you could choose to do instead of what they're trying to force on you, while you have a very, 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 very low risk for the majority of the population. In fact, one in a million if you're under 19. And these things have very obvious effects to reduce severity. Now, on the note of the injections they're forcing, you're probably going to laugh if you haven't seen me talk about this in the beginning of the show, to find out that they're yet again pushing or telling you can mix and match injections. You know, the experimental gene therapies that are held at different temperatures, at different times in between administration, even from the adeno vector or the viral vector versus the mRNA. Now just mix them up in a bag and let's play some Yahtzee and just roll it out there and you get your choice. They're okay with that. But you know who's not? All of the experts who aren't inside the circles of the FDA and the CDC and the WHO. You know why? Because even the FDA says on their documentation, as they allow this, that there is no evidence for it. This is absurd. I'll show you right now. This is a doc. This is put out from, this is yesterday. FDA to allow mix and match. By the way, you know what's funny? They weren't necessarily calling it mix and match. That was kind of a derogatory term that both I and other media used about what they were proposing. And then it literally became mix and match. I use an N with an apostrophe, mix and match, make it look even more ridiculous. But mix and match? Are you kidding me? What is this? Like a Costco? Or even, what's a better example? Like a bargain bin? Let's just mix and match with our injections? Yeah, that sounds real scientific. That's the approach they're going to use for COVID booster shots. That's incredible to me. Well, let's quickly point out why that's ridiculous. Under booster doses or any other point in this documentation from the FDA itself, updated September 22nd, you can see the FDA.gov right there. It says, oh, first of all, they're claiming they have the same formulation, which I don't think is true, based on a lot of factors, that the same thing, that they're the same. Anyway, the point being, there are no data available on the interchangeability of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine or Comirnaty with other authorized COVID-19 injections to complete the primary vaccination series or booster dose. So they have no data on whether that's safe, but we're going to go ahead and do it though, because vaccine's good. We know vaccine's good, right? Is that scientific? So they have no data to back it up, but because they agree to it, they're going to do it? That's not science, that's politics. Now, on top of that, ask yourself this. They're going to argue, well, Comirnaty and Pfizer, the same thing. How about the fact, even ignoring for the moment, the most obvious reality that they're different technologies when you're talking viral vector and mRNA, but how about on top of that, the only single one in this process that's technically approved for 16 and up is Comirnaty, Pfizer. Okay, so then how in the world are you able to take an approved injection and then go, okay, now I'm going to take Moderna, which is not FDA approved, which means it's not the same, right? So one's approved, safe and effective, and the other one's emergency authorized, which is safe and effective, but you can't say they're the same substance because they're not. They're two different products. So now you're literally saying it's okay to take an approved product and then take an emergency authorized product, and that totally lines up? We are off the rails. I've been saying that a lot, guys. But this is, if you were to point, if show all of this, just data points, just headlines to people back in 2015, they would not believe it. Because this is ridiculous. It's all err on the side of every vaccine good at all costs in any possible way. If you even remotely argue this is dangerous, well, you're an anti-vaxxer. As we're pointing to the fact that they're literally telling you there is no available data on this exact process. This should blow your mind. The interchangeability is obscene to me because they're telling you to take something. Well, I also, what's interesting is the FDA approval part of it. They want you to believe that these things are different, right? The FDA approval, I mean, they're all waiting for that. Yet at every single turn, they try to push on you that the emergency authorization is just as good, same thing, just as safe and effective. If that's the case, then why are they all different? Why wouldn't they be approved then? Or why wouldn't they all just be left an emergency authorization? Because it is politics. Now, here is what I've shown you from the beginning of this. This is back on January 1st, and nothing has changed. The same FDA document as of September 20th, say right there, no data. Here is what the experts said when this first was offered up. Now, what it says is the politicians are saying, this is what we should do. It says, but the new advice has still raised eyebrows in the scientific community. Right. So the scientists are like, yeah, this is stupid. And the politicians say, well, we disagree. But trust the science, though, right? Quote, there are no data on this whatsoever. Exactly. Cornell University vaccine expert John Moore told the Times, adding that the UK officials, quote, seem to have abandoned science completely and are just trying to guess their way out of a mess. The update also stands in contrast to the guidelines established by the CDC, which explicitly states that the vaccines are not interchangeable. That's on the CDC, which I I've shown you this many times. There you go. I'm glad we found that pretty quickly. That just bolsters the point quite a bit, right? So right as of this moment, both the FDA and the CDC are saying no. Not only FDA saying it's no data, the CDC is literally saying they are not interchangeable, period. But the FDA is allowing a mix and match because we want to. Science be damned. It goes on to say, either of the current, or specific, the point being, the CDC does go on to say that if doses is inadvertently given, oh, it's right, where is it? Right here. The safety of the and the efficacy of mixed product series have not been evaluated. But they're going to do it, though. Here is one of the first conversations I had about this, where you can see I used the N. UK vaccine mix and match. It was in the UK first. Well, here is COVID-1984 making a great clip on this. This is just it's just as silly as the rest of it. It's a great clip that I hope you will share. Make sure you give COVID-1984 credit for it. I believe he made it. Showing you exactly, that's right, I think I have the video, showing you exactly what we're talking about, that they've acted, and even as of right now, they do not have the information, as I just proved to you. But they're going to make it happen.
People who are thinking about mixing and matching.
The World Health Organization's chief scientist on Monday advised against people mixing and matching COVID-19 vaccines from different manufacturers, calling it a dangerous trend since there is very little information on doing so.
But trust the science.
So it's a little bit of a dangerous trend here where people are in a data-free, evidence-free zone as far as a mix and match. There is limited data on mix and match. It will be a chaotic situation in countries if citizens start, you know, deciding when and who they should be taking a second or a third or a fourth dose.
The FDA is reportedly set to allow a mix-and-match approach for COVID booster shots. According to the New York Times, the agency could announce its decision Wednesday, when it's expected to authorize the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters.
Jeez. Run, not walk, and get that booster vaccination.
That's pretty funny. Actually, I now that I look at it, it doesn't look like he did make this. I'm wondering if he gave the person credit. I don't see anything. Oh, well. It looks like this person is saying down here at the bottom, follow us on YO News. I don't think that's what Spiro would put on it. We got to make sure we're crediting these people. But so I'll find out and make sure we do that. But the point is that this is obvious, guys. Very, very obvious. There's not enough evidence around this, as both the CDC and the FDA still maintain. It's happening. And by the way, it's happening in the UK already. I've already pointed that out. The FDA, according to the mainstream, is about to do it too. Just crazy. Doesn't make much sense when you constantly get screamed at about trusting the science. Now, on top of that, I want to make a couple quick points in the same documents because I had them open, and I want to reiterate these same points that are as of September 22nd, still the same. What if you decide not to get it? Well, it won't change your standard medical care. Fake news, because that's what's happening literally everywhere. Is it okay to refuse anti-vax food? Yes, it is, even though they're telling you that's not allowed. But these only apply to the dumb ones, the anti-vaxxers, right? The one they want you to tell you. People out there have gotten the injection. No rules apply. No rules barred. You can do whatever you want. Even though you're still spreading, you're still catching, it's still high viral, blah, 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 blah. Same old things I'm constantly telling you. It's just so infuriating that we have to circle around this stuff over and over and over and over, even though it's easy to prove. But it goes on to say, can I receive Comirnaty or Pfizer with other injections? You know, like the flu injection that they're right now forcing on people in simultaneous situations. Data have not been submitted to the FDA on administration of Comirnaty or Pfizer BioNTech COVID vaccine at the same time with other vaccines. Or how about the fact that you've got young people that are getting injections, right? They're 30,000 injections they get before they're 10. I mean, facetious, there's a lot. And they're going, well, while you're here, let's give you COVID-19. Well, we haven't tested if it has a problem with those things. They don't care. They've never cared about that. MMR injections have been given forever. They don't test them alongside each other. How does that make sense? And on top of that, again, I made the point earlier, the immunocompromised is just crazy to me. Well, if you're in the group that we used to say shouldn't get injections at all, well, now you can take the third dose before anybody. Yeah, that lines up a lot. What if I'm pregnant or breastfeeding? I keep showing you this, guys. This is the document that they show to people like you, right? The person getting the injection. This is the version of their document they show to people like you. And you go, okay, what if you're pregnant? Well, if you're pregnant, ask your doctor. What? So there's a very clear answer on the other one, and they want you to ask your doctor so he can tell you what he wants. Because what they should be telling you is what it says over here. Available data on Pfizer-BioNTech COVID injections administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform the risks. Exactly. Or data is not available to assess the risks of vaccines on breastfed infants or milk production. Right. So they're happy to say over here, by the way, you can see the same timestamp. Or I don't want to move the window. This is the same updated one from, here, I'll just do this. Same updated one from September 22nd. And you can see at the top, this is for healthcare providers, whereas this one is for recipients and caregivers, right? So the point is, this one says there's not enough evidence to inform about whether we should inject pregnant women. This one says, ask your doctor. Great. So some of those doctors are going to be like, yeah, it's safe and effective, right? Even the media is right now, like I was about to show you next, is pushing this concept on, well, 1 in 5 of England's most critically ill patients are unvaccinated pregnant women, a study finds. Which, how I don't, that the only reason that I don't even know, how, even new, like statistically, how that's even possible is because they're taking a small statistic and saying 1 in 5. How, what if it was like 20 total people? Or how about it was 5 people and one of them was pregnant? Well, they can say 1 in 5 of England's most critically ill. Because here's the point. Since July, approximately 1 in 5 coronavirus patients who received an intensive lung bypass treatment or extracorporeal membrane oxidization were unvaccinated pregnant. So basically it boils down to people who received these two extreme treatments, 1/5 of them are pregnant. So how many people received those treatments? What if it was 5? That would mean only one pregnant person. But you see how we frame it as 1 in 5 of the most, that's how this works. Regardless of any of that, how do we know that the benefits outweigh the risks if we don't have the data? So you can still point and say, look, they're in danger, they're sick. Okay. So what? So take something that we don't know is safer? That's what they're doing, because they're pushing it on people and saying, well, we don't know for sure, but we're going to make sure people take it anyway. Here's what the WHO is already saying. Well, go ahead and take it. We'll drop our opposition to this thing. Why exactly? The data hasn't changed because politics. Gross. Sinister. Now, finally, to wrap this up, I want to point out a couple of things in regard to the, you know, technocratic future that's being built around us right now. And this transitions from the injection topic. This one's kind of scary to me. Now, I don't know exactly where this will go or if this is even going to amount to anything. I feel like it will based on the direction they're going. This the headline reads, virtually painless, needle-free injections developed in the Netherlands. You know how it's administered? Via laser beam. Not a joke. So first impression on this is, well, okay, if it's something that has to be done really closely, it's clear that I think we can argue at the very least that this could be adapted to be something from afar. I don't know why that would be something that wouldn't make sense. And then we have to consider whether this would be used to inoculate people without their knowledge. Yes, I know I'm a conspiracy theorist. Let's see, wait until that actually happens. And then we can point at it and say, see, and they'll still say, you're still a conspiracy theorist, which has happened 1,000 times long before COVID-19 ever got here. You know, theorizing based on historical events and what they've said they would do and what they're currently planning. And that's conspiracy theory. People that even use the term conspiracy theory, I'm pretty sure we can recognize, are not the most intelligent in most cases. I the only time I've ever used conspiracy theory is in a way that's kind of making fun of how they use it, or because it's a dumb thing to say. Do people conspire about what they're going to accomplish of all the damn time? Is it possible this is planned in a way that's going to, like, how about this? How about we look at this in the context of these people have decided that this injection is the best thing for everybody. How about for sake of conversation, we just pretend it is the best thing for everybody. I don't believe that, and it's not, but how about we just pretend that? These people believe that. And what if it really was? And they're going to say, well, we know they're afraid and this is what's best for them. Let's make this situation happen to where we can make it happen for them. It's painless. They won't even know about it. And it'll be the best thing for everybody. Now, does that sound like the kind of tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that we always pretend these things are? That's a possible way that could go. People doing what they think is best for everybody, right? The wrong things for the right reasons. Our history is riddled with those things. So to pretend that that's not possible as we've watched that happen, I mean, look at how direct energy weapons are being used. Look at how a lot of things are being used. Remember when geoengineering was a fake news story? Remember when fluoride in your water was a fake news story? Those are all real examples. Fake news. You're a dumb idiot conspiracy black helicopter conspiracy theorist, even though we've literally proven that black helicopters have always been a real thing, but they still use that term, right? It's crazy where we are. This is something that concerns me quite a bit. The last point on that, since I'm ranting, I think it's humorous that the concept of a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, you know where that comes from? Like, I mean, obviously there's arguments about like the alien thing, but the reality is, in my opinion, that there's a very clear understanding of what a Faraday cage can be, right? Now, are we all very aware of whether it's about blocking people, you know, controlling your brain or however you want to frame it, which is not a crazy thing to understand, with the voice of God technology being very real, or the fact that they have current technology that's been used since the 2010, where they can literally implant something which can control bugs, animals, the way that they move, what they think. And we know that that can now be done from afar. Regardless, these are all verifiable things that people will still deem conspiracy theory. But recognize an interesting thought I had the other day. That the idea of tinfoil can very clearly block EMF radiation. So, I mean, look, I have a beanie right now that is, the inside of it is done in a way that does, whether it's silver or, you know, these EMF or RF blocking things. I have underwear like that. I've got socks like that. They make product like that all over the place. So it's interesting to see that back when people were doing that, maybe they knew more than we thought, and they framed it as something dumb, because we know that there has been EMF or just like 5G type technology manipulation going on for a long time before it was 5G. And we pointed that, and we still use conspiracy, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, when it's like, well, before they had these things, is that crazy? I mean, it's just funny to think about. I mean, I love those kind of concepts, because it shows you that they're naming things that we see today that aren't really crazy as absolutely crazy. So we need to think back further on other things that people kind of accepted as crazy that maybe weren't ever crazy. Interesting. Now, this point, there's one paragraph it says right here, is researchers in the Netherlands are developing laser technology to enable virtually painless injections without needles in what they call a breakthrough that will ease fear and lower the threshold of vaccinations. As I understand it, it essentially uses the laser to like superheat these particles and press them through your skin. It's crazy. But could this not be done from afar? Come on. We know that's possible with the level of technology we have. Here's the gun. I used to use something similar to this in regards to temperatures at a restaurant. And back when I first saw those things, it blew my mind from, you know, because we used to use just metal temperatures to gauge and see what food was hot or cold, if it was meeting the temperatures. And all of a sudden we got these things that you could use from across the room and you get the temperature. And I was like, that's crazy, right? You know, long time ago. Now, I think this is something that concerned. We see where this is going, and this leads us into the, you know, the technocratic future, the conversation of it at the very least. The World Economic Forum is creating a framework for responsible facial recognition, right? So people have pushed back and we say, we don't want this. We don't like it. This is, invasive privacy. Oh, okay. Then we're going to do it anyway, though. We're going to do it responsibly. Cool. So glad you heard our concerns and didn't listen, right? It's so funny how so it's responsibly done, which means they're going to pretend they care what you think and then not care at all, in fact, which is what they always do. Yeah, we're going to be responsible about the Patriot Act and just not listen to your concerns at all. People raise concerns about these things and they just dismiss them. This is happening, whether you like it or not, whether you vote on it or not. This is your future. And if you're not hearing that, start paying attention. One more little point on this I thought was very concerning. Here is an article that went out. U.S. schools gave kids laptops during the pandemic. Then they spied on them. Great. Just one small example of where this is going. Oh, that's weird. Okay, here's right here. So here's what I said. It's all about health and safety, though, right? And anyone concerned about the obvious authoritarian technocratic push taking place right in front of us under a guise of fighting COVID is simply a, quote, dangerous anti-science fringe conspiracy theorist. Any questions? Right. They're not. It's all about health, though. Here's laptops so we can spy on your children and hear what they're thinking and what they're doing. This is incredible. And no one's going to be held accountable for this. Do you think anyone's going to go to jail? That's a jail-worthy offense. Nope. Nobody's going to care. Well, because COVID, it was about safety or something. So shut up. On top of that, a really unnerving reality that I just saw. Now, it's funny, as we talked about this guy on a previous video, and a lot of people seem to think he was maybe it was fake or something, or that maybe he was, I forget the term people were using, it wasn't real, it was staged or whatever. Still possible, it's always possible. But here's another video of that very person being arrested at his home while live streaming. This guy's been adamantly speaking out about COVID-19, the mandates in Australia. The police came to his home while he was live and arrested him on the air. Why? Because he violated the health mandates by being outside or being, it was probably the time, one of the many times he's been on video where he was simply just outside and that's against the law in certain places in Australia. Now, yes, it's important, as one of our followers points out, it's not everywhere, and we got to be careful and clear about this. It's not just all of Australia all the time, but if anywhere in Australia this can happen, based on the government of Australia, it can apply anywhere. We see where this is going. Guys, it's not just Australia. The world is sprinting in an authoritarian, technocratic direction. It's tyranny.
Go to the police at the door. How can I help you? Come inside. Come inside.
Stand up. Stand up. You're under arrest. Stand up.
I'm under arrest?
You're under arrest. Stand up. Move away from the desk. You're under arrest. Stand up. I cannot be any further. Clear.
So what do you want to do? You want to arrest me?
I want you to stand up and move away from the table. I'm formally placing you under arrest. My name is Leddington, you Constable Kingston from Burwood High Patrol. I'll let you know right now that this conversation is being recorded on the body-worn camera. Do you understand that? Do you understand this being recorded on the body-worn camera?
I can understand that. So okay. What are you arresting me for?
Okay, so you are under arrest. You're under arrest because of an offence committed at 5:25.
Okay, can I get everyone to introduce themselves? I don't know if you're police or not.
No, hang on.
Who are you, sorry?
Constable
Jang. So Jang, can I see a badge? Don't yeah, you've got a badge there. What's your name?
Sergeant Porchetti from Burwood Police.
And Kingston. Now, you've been making threats against me,
okay.
And you've said you're going to get me.
I'm not going to entertain you tonight.
Is this what you're doing? Is this your following through on the threat?
Which, by the way, he has documented this before. I played one of his previous videos where, it's very clear that they're going after him, right? Even that last one we showed, they went up to him and they pulled him over for a different reason and then basically accosted him out of the car because he's speaking out about COVID, right? And what they're using now is a violation, they say, of these unbelievably tyrannical health mandates, which means if you just do what you're not supposed to do, regardless of whether people voted or whether it violates your rights or any of this stuff, then you're going to be arrested. This is alarming.
And you are under arrest at the moment for an alleged breach of the Public Health Act that occurred at 5:25 p.m. Monday, the 4th of October, 2021.
Now, did you hear that? He's under arrest for an alleged violation of this crime. So somebody reported him, and they're arresting him. So apparently in Australia, at least in this location, you don't even need to prove this stuff anymore. So somebody reports that you violated this, and you're going to get arrested, and they'll work out the details later. Sounds like freedom to me.
That's in the vicinity of the arrest at the moment for an alleged breach of the Public Health Act that occurred at 5:25.
Following through on the threat.
Listen, you are under arrest at the moment for an alleged breach of the Public Health Act that occurred at 5:25 p.m. Monday, the 4th of October, 2021. That's in the vicinity of Timbrell Park Rod Point. Okay? I'm going to remind you, you do not have to say or do anything if you don't want to. Anything you do say or do is being recorded, and this recording may be used in court as evidence. Do you understand that?
Yeah. So you're going
to. So in the park. So go to the park. This is what happens when you go to the park in this location in Australia. And obviously, so I should point out, clearly this video is edited, right? So it's the breakdown of the gist of what happened. But remember that, so always more point out that there's edits in this, that it wasn't done by me.
Are you going to try and get violent with me now, or what are you going
to
do?
Come on, let's go, Mr. Blackhoff.
You want to come?
Is there any reason to touch me?
Come on. Yeah, you're under arrest.
You're under arrest.
Come on, man. Come on, you're sitting harder than what it needs to be, please. Come on.
All right. Can I take something with you?
No. You don't need it. Let's go.
Control
this.
Well,
why you didn't
want to
do it?
Take the keys. Rosie Kozak is under arrest. Sergeant Kingston is following through on his threats. He promised to get me. Complain about what you don't like and call Burwood Police Station.
Feel free to call and let them know what you think.
You can call the LECC or the commander, make a complaint on my behalf. This is what happens when you speak up against the government.
Right? This is what happens when you speak up against the government.
State of New South Wales is showing its true colours. Gladys has resigned. Do you want to say something as well?
Get him.
Man, I love you. I'll see you soon, my love.
Now, remember as well, like, the whole idea is that this, his actions are, you know, increasing the risk of the health or whatever, right? So by having four people go into a small room and all make contact with this person, and that's supposed to not increase the risk, right? He's online doing things online and then going to the park. And that's a risk. But having four people in a small space all touching and grabbing and polluting, right? That's okay, though. Obviously, I don't care about that, but in their narrative, that's not, it doesn't make sense. There's no logic. It's about enforcement and coercion, right? It's about compliance. That's what this is about.
Can't you come to the station, wait for me in the foyer?
Crazy. Another video for you. This is just another example of how they are actively editing in real time your reality. Right? So when we watch CNN, Fox News, any of them, remember, whether we're talking the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act or anything else, they are legally allowed to completely make things up to you if they deem it is for national security. I mean, the government, obviously. So they can just call CNN and Fox News and say, this is going to happen tonight. And this is done with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Right? The Smith-Mundt Act was about not being allowed to propagandize American people. They modernized that act, was trying to make it sound like it was going to get better. All they did was remove that. They said, well, now we can for national security, which is literally whatever they want it to be. So that means that story you saw on CNN and Fox News last night could literally be false entirely. And they think that's legal because national security. You know what they think is national security? Their narrative around the injection. You know, they think people like me are the biggest threat today. Domestic terrorists fighting with what they call people spreading what they say is vaccine misinformation on Biden's executive order. Domestic terrorist. For saying things that are factually backed up. They are actively doing things like you're going to see here. Now, this is not an exact example of the Smith-Mundt kind of manipulation. We've seen a lot of that. But what this is about perception. And about how they don't want you to see that the world is pushing back against this. Check out this clip. This is important to understand. This is happening everywhere.
Questa della Trieste live webcam, okay, dove mostrano la Piazza Unità.
So that's the live webcam of the square that they're standing in, or supposedly. This is them saying this is the live view of where they're supposed to be, right?
Vuota.
And note that there's nobody there in the camera view.
Questo momento 20:30.
That's what's happening.
Questa è la situazione reale.
Note the gigantic sign that says Liberty.
Questa è la situazione reale.
Draghi merda!
Ecco quello che vogliono farci credere.
Look at that. Packed. Corner to corner. Right there.
Momento
20:30. Right there. I think it's health, liberty, health. This is something liberty. Imagine it's obviously around what's going on right now. So think about how crazy that is. So just to show this again, so you can see the still picture, they are hiding what's going on.
Trieste live webcam. Okay.
And that's the exact same location. Like, this is an effort to hide that people are protesting against what's happening. They want you to feel alone. They want you to feel like you are the fringe conspiracy theorist. That is not true. I believe the majority is on your side, at the very least, a huge portion. The whole point of what we're doing on the 24th in Franklin is about showing people that they're not alone. You are not alone. We need to know that. They're going to try to hide it from you everywhere. Now, one last point on this I want us to think about, well, two last points, is that I already talked about this. The fact that they're going to be, in fact, I argue they're already doing tracer gas, particle and gas releases for chemical and biodefense testing, CBT. We talked about this already. Now, what's alarming is that this proposed action would start October 2021. So it's happening this month. The release of particle and gas tracer materials directed into the open air space in several predetermined locations within the New York City. Now I'm talking about inside of subway and all sorts of things. Now they're claiming it's not harmful. I don't have a really strong trust for what they claim is not harmful. How about you? Regardless of that, if something happens by and large, and we see some large, sharp increase of something after this, we need to recognize that there's something going on, whether it was accident or intentional. But if you think that sounds crazy, then you clearly have not been paying attention. For those that haven't seen this, it should be crazy to recognize that they're testing. It's already happening. Now, what I want to point out here is that during the 30-day public comment, or no, that's not the one. Where was it? Right here. It says, effective on September 14th. Where was it here? Dang it. There's a part in here that there was a timing on it. Oh, I know what I did. Okay, here we go. Oh, there it was. Okay, good. So here, the UTD and the CBT, there's a different variations of the same thing they're doing here. Now it says the particle and gas tracer releases would occur within a defined two-week time frame between September and December 2021. So it's ongoing. There would be five separate testing days scheduled within this two-week time frame. I don't know how that's a two-week time frame exactly. But it says New York City stakeholders were recently updated on the program. You know, it wasn't updated. Most people in the city, because they're screaming about how crazy this is. And there's supposed to be a public comment time frame, which they didn't know about, of course. But it says they have initially occurred within October 17th to the 30th. Already happening. Under the chemical distribution part we just talked about, particle and gas tracer releases would occur on a rolling basis starting this month already, with the specific schedule dependent on the pace of technology installation and funding availability. This is going to continue. Testing would occur up to 10 days per month with a maximum of four test events per day. Spraying different gases and chemicals around you without you really being aware of it for 10 days a month, seemingly ongoing. The schedule will be dependent on the pace of technology installation. This is crazy. Let's wait and see what happens. How about like Operation Sea Spray, where they did something very similar without telling people and it killed people? They didn't plan that, or maybe they did. Who knows? Bottom line is, this is crazy to be done by a government that we're talking about that has been caught doing things like this that hurt people every single time. How about the one they're screaming is safe and effective? It's hurting people right now across the board. But to end on a positive note, because I feel like that's necessary today, a great tweet from Slow Newsday points out, and this is what we need to see, and this is what shows you one of the things I'm going to really focus on at the event on the 24th, that what we need to do, guys, is not just passively push back and say they're hurt, you know, affecting. We need to push back, and we need to keep talking about it. We need to keep discussing this, but we need to show that we can create our own counter communities, counter societies, right? They're firing half the doctors out there. Well, we're going to start our own stuff. Firing people with their businesses, we're going to open our own damn businesses. And we're, you know, and look, you know, the reality should be, you make your own decisions on who you let into your business. But the point is that this is what's happening with the firefighters who were just fired. Firefighters and Seattle police officers that were fired for not complying with the untyrannical vaccine mandate are feeding the homeless in defiance. Good for them. But they're not supposed to be doing this. Right? They're not supposed to be feeding each other. They're not supposed to be out there without masks. They're not supposed to be collecting. All of it. These are the people that actually want to help. The people going along with all of this aren't your friends. At the very least, they're being coerced into it and don't want to be there. Thank you for sharing this, Steve, because this is important to realize that people are pushing back. Do not forget that you are not alone. We need to create these things. We need to create peer-to-peer economies. We need to work outside their system. You know what? Like we always should have been doing. This is just the excuse to expedite that process. We don't need them. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for continuing to fight alongside me. Very important, guys. Every single day we see this increasing, and every single day we recognize anew how important it is to never stop what we're doing and do even more. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The more we follow the rules, the sooner we will stop the spread. And so everybody has a responsibility to follow those rules.
They say it's 2021, but I ain't too sure. It feels like 1984. They've been mentally and spiritually waging war. Look where this leads, can't you see what they're aiming for? Orwell underestimated the capability of villainy and tyranny. These sick elites are masters of trickery. They're moving wickedly, watching the world bleed as they feed off our misery. The world's gone quite mad. Yeah, the human psyche has been hijacked. Propaganda bombardments, your mind is the target. They want to deceive and lead us into darkness. Fear is their greatest tool. Fear can turn the brightest minds to fools. Televised endless lies keep people terrified. That's the way they maintain their rule. Fear is the prison that they want us all to live in. And ever since the beginning, this has been their only mission. Politicians cause division. They're just here to blind our vision. Playing their position to distract us from their masters that are hidden. I think George had a premonition. Seems like it's all coming to fruition. A race against time, now the clock started ticking. The whole thing ends once the people have risen. The only infection here is deception. They fooled the whole world with PCR testing. Look at all the facts they're neglecting to mention. That's too many questions and you can get censored. The thought police are patrolling. They don't want information if they can't control it. Nah, can't you see what's unfolding? 1984, George already wrote it. Yeah, said we're living within Orwell's chapters. No money for homeless, but there's money to track us. Tell me that ain't madness, now we're all anti-vaxxers. Just cause we question and seek to find answers. They want me scared for my life, but nurses can find time for TikTok dances. The media's a stage full of actors, manufactured psyops and distractions. Big Brother is watching and plotting. Hands are the only things that they want washing. Nah, they want everybody locked in, taking your mind hostage till you've lost it. New normal, lockdowns, the band's in motion and it ain't gonna stop now. You can see the plot now, it ain't even hiding. A real pandemic doesn't need advertising. It's an attack on our freedom. Businesses destroyed for no reason. Grandparents in care homes dying of loneliness. Missing their families, wishing that they could see them. What about the patients on the waiting list who couldn't get their treatment? Look at all the havoc it's been wreaking. Suicide and depression increasing. Can't you see this is tearing us to pieces? I don't believe in a damn word the government are speaking. They're creeping towards more control. That's the true goal that they're seeking. The vampires are just trying to sink their teeth in. What happened to the truth? Come to think of it, what happened to the flu? And what would happen if nobody watched the news? Red pill or blue, now it's time to choose. For real, be honest with yourself. Do you really believe that this is about health? It's never been. Take a look, it's evident. The only thing that's spreading is the terror they've been peddling. That mask is a muzzle. Only the strong will survive in this struggle. If you ain't seen the bigger picture yet, then you're just lost in the puzzle. Literally got you living in a bubble. The only virus in our lives is these liars and these tyrants that are trying to deny us of our rights and conspiring to annihilate the righteous. The sheep can be silenced, but they could never quiet the lions. We're rising. The veil has been lifted, consciousness has shifted to a higher wisdom. And we ain't gonna be victims of this system. We won't be prisoners, this is the resistance.